Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Airstrikes and rocket attacks continued in Lebanon and Israel today. Meanwhile, relief agencies say they need to figure out another way to bring much-needed supplies into Lebanon after Israeli strikes hit the last major land route into the country. Israel is allowing Portugal to fly food and medicine in once a day for 4 days, and a Greek ship will start ferrying in supplies tomorrow. But Lebanon's president accuses the Israelis of trying to wage a war of starvation on his people. Cuba's government has issued its first decree since Fidel Castro was sidelined by surgery, and in it, the Cuban foreign ministry is condemning the deadly Israeli bombing of a Lebanese village, Cana, calling it cowardly, vile, and criminal, and demanding an immediate ceasefire. In Iraq, 10 people were killed today at a soccer game that was attacked by a suicide car bomber. The U.S. military also says 2 American soldiers died today because of enemy action west of Baghdad. Tens of thousands of people demonstrated in Baghdad today in support of Hezbollah. A U.S. military commander in Iraq giving a satellite briefing to Pentagon reporters today was asked if Shiite sympathy for Hezbollah will lead to higher levels of violence in Iraq.
There are some who would try to whip the normal man into a frenzy to have him attack the Americans, but most people understand that our role here is not one of aggression at this point.
That's U.S. Army Colonel Brian Jones speaking from Bakuba, Iraq. A former White House advisor pleaded guilty to theft today, briefly breaking into tears as he tried to explain to a judge why he made phony returns at discount department stores while working as a top aide to President Bush on domestic policy. Claude Allen said something did go very wrong. Allen pleaded guilty to 1 misdemeanor count of theft under $500. He was sentenced to 2 years of supervised probation and ordered to pay a $500 fine, $850 in restitution to Target Corporation, and perform 40 hours of community service. And 2 suspects are under arrest in Phoenix in a more than year-long series of shootings that killed 6 people. That case is known as the serial shooter, but the search continues for another one wanted in several other cases, that one known as the baseline killer after a local thoroughfare. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
stopped on Friday.
Are there setbacks? Yes. Are there things that people can't anticipate? Yes. Does the enemy have a brain and continue to make adjustments on the ground, requiring our forces to continue to make adjustments? You bet. Is that going to continue to be the case? I think so. Is this problem going to get solved in the near term about this long struggle against violent extremism? No, I don't believe it is.
Isn't that nice to have conversations with yourself? You never get into a real argument. Bush talks with God, and Rumsfeld talks with himself. These are madmen. Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. It's about 7 past the hour. We have some Rumsferatu for you tonight from the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing yesterday on the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. We had the schedule for last night, but our interview with Webster Tarpley ran the entire program. So we'll play it for you tonight. And this will include the now notorious back and forth with Hillary about Rumsferatu's rosy optimism on all the death and destruction and stacked corpses and dead babies in the Middle East. It's worth noting some of the milestones that have occurred in Iraq since Rumsferatu's last public testimony in February of this year. An additional 300 U.S. soldiers and Marines have died in Iraq. Approximately 2,500 U.S. troops have been wounded. 10,000 Iraq civilians have been killed. Insurgents have conducted an average of 620 attacks per week. In March, there were 7.8 hours of electricity per day in Baghdad. That's down from 16 hours before the war. Last month, it was 7.6 hours. Also in March, there were 133,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. Today, there are 132,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, and plans to raise that number to 135,000. This is just since this vampire, flesh-eating, demented old bastard who runs the Pentagon gave his last public testimony. Now, after listening to the list of failures and lies and deliberate efforts to program the American people into accepting his hallucinatory fantasies about all these imaginary successes in Iraq and Afghanistan, and Whately opens his filthy mouth on Lebanon, the question is not why doesn't Rummy resign as much as why is he still here? Why isn't he in prison? Why hasn't he been charged with war crimes? If Bush was as concerned about the security of the American people and the people and the antiquities of Iraq as he is about securing the Iraqi oil fields and the Afghan pipelines, back when all this started, Rumsfeld today would be spending his days on a sunny golf course near a large private psychiatric facility instead of continuing to wander the halls of the Pentagon, randomly firing his laser pointer and muttering about known knowns and plans to bomb the moon. This man is a degenerate. He is one of the most vile degenerates ever in U.S. government. So we're going to start tonight with some sound from Rumsfeld. We're also going to take your calls through most of the evening tonight. So if you would like to get online, that's fine. The number here is 866-303-2270. By the way, we usually get tons of emails over the weekend. And, you know, I try to answer as many as I can. But if you, I just need to let you know, we had a lightning strike tonight on our house. No fire, although the fire department did come out, scared the hell out of us. It knocked out all of our electronics and apparently fried our PC. So if you try to get in touch with me via email this weekend, it's probably not going to happen. I probably won't see it until first of next week. Just wanted to let you know. Let's start with this Rumsfeld freak. He was testifying. You know, this was the testimony where he said he was not going to go before the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing on Iraq and Afghanistan. Why should he? He's Donald Rumsfeld. He didn't give a damn about these toy senators. He couldn't care less. But then apparently Hillary sent him some kind of a screeching letter. I don't know what the letter said. Maybe it said she was going to publish the photo she has of Rumsfeld and little boys. I have no idea, but he did show up. Teddy Kennedy, who's on that committee, got the ball rolling with some statistics. And as you would expect, Rumsfeld had little to say except repeat the word different, different, different over and over again.
We've been in Iraq for 40 months and 13 days, the Korean War, 37 months, World War I, 19 months, Persian Gulf War, 3 months, World War II, 42 months, VE Day, 42 months for VED, 45 months for VJ Day. Civil War was 48 months. We've been in there now for 40 months and 13 days. With the finest military that's ever been developed in basically rather a third-rate military situation. Now, we hear General Abizaid talk about the increase in sectarian violence. How are our troops trained to deal with sectarianism?
I'd rather have either of the generals comment on the training, except to say that the situation in Iraq with 18 provinces is really quite different in different provinces, and we have forces in most provinces. And the training is different for the different circumstances that they face.
Oh, okay. I guess that's a good answer. Senator Jack Reed then took the mic and asked about the disturbing data that the U.S. is literally running out of Army and Reserve and Guard troops that are trained and ready to fight, you know, with the enlistment and the reenlistment numbers at record lows. So what will we do if North Korea decides to get froggy right now and decides to jump? Or if there's another terrorist attack, what will these great defenders of America, these sick, demented old bastards like Rumsfeld, what are they going to do to protect the homeland, which Bush claims is his top priority? I guess he's more concerned about securing those Arab oil fields.
Mr. Secretary, it's very clear that 2/3 of the Army Operating Force active reserve is now reporting as unready. There is not a single non-deployed Army Brigade combat team in the United States that is ready to deploy. The bottom line is that we have no ready strategic reserve. And this is a stunning indictment of your leadership.
I think it's an inaccurate statement.
How so? Have you seen the readiness reports, Mr. Secretary?
I have.
And it's inaccurate to say that the readiness reports of the Army does not indicate severe equipment shortages leading many brigades in the United States as non-deployable?
Stand with what I say. I think the characterization that you made is not accurate.
Well, then what is accurate, you moldy vampire? What is accurate? Oh, that's right. This is the Republican. This is the conservative. This is the neocon way to do it. The moon is round? No, I'm sorry. The moon is not round. Well, if you look outside, you'll see it's round. No, I reject the characterization that the moon appears to be round or globe-shaped. It's not. But it is. No, it's not. I reject that. Totally reject it. But if you look outside at the moon, Mr. Secretary, you'll see that it's round. There are times when I look at the moon when it's not round. It's kind of off-center or looks like a sliver. So what are you saying? The moon is round. I reject the characterization that the moon is round. But, Mr. Secretary, that's just the way the sunlight falls on the moon. The what? The sunlight. What do you mean the sunlight? That's how the moon is lit. It's a reflective body. Are you telling me that the moon does not give off light? No, sir, I'm not saying that. The moon does give off light, but it's reflected light. It comes from the sun. What are you talking about? I'm talking, Mr. Secretary. Never mind.
Swam in your pools, lay under your palm trees. I looked in the eyes of the Indian who laid off the letter of every step.
those popular pills. Sent her the best they find on that desert state under bravery.
Being out of range, yeah, the person is best. Oh man, what the hell are you gonna feel next? All the time.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Well, of course you would say that. Chuckle nuts, that's what you were told to say by Dick Cheney. All right, those first few cuts from Rumsfeld kind of sets the tone now as to the confrontational nature of this little appearance before the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday. So let's move from the preview previews to our feature presentation, The Battle of Hillary and Donald. Let's get ready to rumble! Here's Hillary and Herum Ferrato. I'll paraphrase Hillary Clinton's original statement in question. Love her or loathe her, you can't disagree with her assessment of Rumsfeld. Hillary begins, under your leadership, there have been numerous errors in judgment that have led us to where we are in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Taliban are back in control in Afghanistan. We have a full-fledged insurgency and full-blown sectarian conflict in Iraq. You've disbanded the entire Iraqi army. Now we're trying to recreate it. You did not go into Iraq with enough troops to establish law and order. Violence seems to be increasing. From January to June this year, there were 14,338 Iraqi civilian casualties, at least as far as anyone can count. In May and June alone, there were 5,000 deaths and 6,000 injuries. Because of the administration's strategic blunders and, frankly, the record of incompetence in executing, you are presiding over a failed policy. Given your track record, Secretary Rumsfeld, why should we believe your assurances now?
My goodness. First, I've tried to make notes and to follow the prepared statements you've presented. Second, you said the number of troops were wrong. I guess history will make a judgment on that. The number of troops that went in and the number of troops that were there every month since and the number of troops that are there today reflected the best judgment of the military commanders on the ground, their superiors, General Pace, General Abizaid, the civilian leadership of the Department of Defense, and the President of the United States.
That's a lie.
I think it's not correct to assume that they were wrong numbers. I don't think the evidence suggests that, and it will be interesting to see what history decides.
You don't have to wait for history, you freak, to see that you've created disaster in the Middle East. And as far as the best judgment of the military commanders, no, you lying old bastard. The best judgment of the military commanders that you didn't fire. Remember Shinseki? Remember General Shinseki? You know, the Japanese guy? The one that said we would need 300,000 to 400,000 troops on the ground, you left him out here, didn't you, Rumsfeld? And the patronizing, this guy is the most patronizing creep I have, especially when he's talking to a woman. Have you ever noticed that? He says, my goodness. First, I tried to make notes and to follow the prepared statement you've presented. Kind of patronizing way to talk to a senator, isn't it, Nosferatu? I may not agree with Hillary Clinton, but I that's from a political standpoint. You don't like her because she's a female. He says, you said the number of troops are wrong. I guess history will make a judgment on that. You can't see that with your own bloodshot eyes. You miserable old fart. You have to wait for history? The rest of America knows. The rest of the world knows what you've done. The rest of the world knows how many people you've sent to hell. The rest of the world knows what you've done to the United States military, to its traditions, to its ranks, to its leadership. The rest of the world and the United States knows what you have done in destabilizing the entire goddamn world. Everybody knows, Rumsfeld, and you have the unmitigated arrogance to sit there In a different time, in a different society, you would have already fallen on your sword. And I don't mean that ceremonially. You would have committed harakiri. Because you have not only embarrassed this country, you have denigrated and degraded the United States military to the point that it is now taking into its ranks gang members, white racists, Klan people, in order to fill your ranks so you can continue your slaughter in Iraq. Why don't you do the honorable thing, Mr. Secretary, like the defeated Japanese generals used to?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now, and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him. And we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
All right, back to this chunk of rotting flesh from hell that is operating as the United States Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. He continues to answer Hillary. It goes on for 7 or 8 minutes. Here he spews forth one of his massive lies about what happened to the Iraqi army after our initial invasion.
The idea that the army was disbanded, I think, is one that's kind of flying around. My impression is that to a great extent that army disbanded itself. The work to build a new army has included an awful lot of the people from the prior army. The role of the U.S. forces is to help them, and then, as our forces step back, allow the Iraqi security forces to be sufficient to maintain order in the city. I can't predict if it will work this time. It may or it may not.
Who was the head, the first head of the provisional authority, the guy that would wear the suits and the construction boots? What the hell was his name? I'm drawing a blank. He was the one who went in with the PNAC plan in his briefcase that the first thing necessary was to end the Iraqi army. And this lying bastard sits here. It's astonishing to me what Rumsfeld gets away with. He just sits there and lies. It's not astonishing. This is what conservatives do. This is what all conservatives do about every single issue. Everything. And Republicans and the religious right have filed this down to a razor-sharp point. Nothing. And I defy you, I defy anyone to prove this statement wrong. Nothing that comes out of the mouth of a conservative or a Republican office holder is truth. Nothing. Nothing. Still addressing Clinton, this time about her comments that the Taliban are back in Afghanistan. I listen to his equivocation here. He calls it a success because we drove out the Taliban that was there at the time. So we won. So I guess this is a new Taliban? The son of a bitch is mad.
Afghanistan. I don't know who said what about where the Taliban are gone, but in fact the Taliban that were running Afghanistan and ruling Afghanistan were replaced. And they were replaced by an election that took place in that country. And in terms of a government or a governing entity, they were gone.
My God. My God. Now, here's my favorite part. One of those long, senile, insane sequences where this freak asks and answers his own ludicrous rhetorical question. This is literally the craziest I've ever heard this old bastard. They got to get him on some blood thinners or back into his box of dirt. Something. Yeah, he's still answering Hillary's original statement about Afghanistan and Iraq.
Are there still Taliban around? You bet. Are they occupying safe havens in Afghanistan and other places? Correction, in Pakistan and other places? Certainly they are. is the violence up? Yes. Is the violence tend to be up during the summer and spring, summer, and fall months? Yes, it does. And it tends to decline during the winter period.
Oh, my God.
Are there setbacks? Yes. Are there things that people can't anticipate? Yes. Does the enemy have a brain and continue to make adjustments on the ground, requiring our forces to continue to make adjustments? You bet. Is that going to continue to be the case? I think so. Is this problem going to get solved in the near term about this long struggle against violent extremism? No, I don't believe it is. Does that represent failed policy? I don't know. I would say not. So I would disagree strongly with your statement.
Oh, my God. So our troops and the civilian population of two countries will continue to die. Our troops will continue to kill and die. Civilians will die. Resistance forces will continue to resist and kill our troops and die. Am I the worst defense secretary in history? Time will tell. Is my future position with Bechtel guaranteed regardless? You betcha. Should I continue the schizophrenic conversation with myself? Absolutely. Will I enjoy it? Probably not. Have I forgotten to take my medication again? All metrics indicate the affirmative. Do I want some more pudding? Goodness gracious, yes. L. Paul Bremer. Thanks, everybody. Don't send any more. L. Paul Bremer was the first U.S. proconsul who ran Iraq after we went in and destroyed it and turned it into a charnel house of death and destruction and blood and rip... Just... Oh, God. L. Paul Bremer. That's right. Another great success story who got the Medal of Freedom. I wonder what Paul Bremer's doing now. Probably working under Wolfowitz. Murderous, murderous savages. Last one tonight, a little exchange between Nosferatu and Hillary Clinton that contains the biggest lie of all.
There's a track record here. This is not 2002, 2003, 2004, 5, when you appeared before this committee and made many comments and presented, you know, many assurances that have frankly proven to be unfulfilled. And
Senator, I don't think that's true. I have never painted a rosy picture. I've been very measured in my words, and you have a dickens of a time trying to find instances where I've been excessively optimistic.
Oh, really? Well, we didn't have a dickens of a time here at the Molloy program finding plenty of instances where you were, what's the word? Optimistic to the point of sounding downright delusional. In addition to the dozens of explicit, everything's going wonderfully, statements Rumsfeld continually plays down bad news with his podium-pounding, stuff-happens witticisms and blames the news media for, well, reporting the admittedly horrific news from the Bush crime family's oil wars. As in this quote from a Department of Defense briefing on April 11th, 2003, Rumsfeld. I picked up a newspaper today and I couldn't believe it. I read 8 headlines that talked about chaos, violence, unrest, and it was just henny penny, the sky is falling. I've never seen anything like it. You want some more rosy rummy? He's so out of touch with reality. He must not think that anybody can Google and find out just how much delusional horse crap he's thrown around the last 3 years. Here's just a little taste, O'Rummy. November 15th, 2002. The Gulf War in the 1990s lasted 5 days on the ground. I can't tell you if the force, use of force in Iraq today would last 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 months, but it certainly isn't going to last any longer than that. It won't be a World War III. December 18th, 2002. Larry King, what's the current situation in Afghanistan? Rumsfeld, it is encouraging. They have elected a government through a Loya Jirga process. The Taliban are gone. Al-Qaeda is gone. February 7th, 2003, Rumsfeld to U.S. troops in Aviano, Italy. It is unknowable how long that conflict will last. It could last 6 days, 6 weeks, I doubt 6 months. April 11th, 2003. And you say, well, what was it in the war plan? The plan is a complex set of conclusions or ideas that then have a whole series of alternative excursions that one can do depending on what one happens. And they've been doing that as they've been going along, and they've been doing a darn good job. July 2003, the residents of Baghdad may not have power 24 hours a day, but they no longer wake up each morning in fear, wondering whether this will be the day that a death squad would come to cut out their tongues or chop off their ears or take their children away for questioning, never to be seen again. Of course, that is a perfect snapshot of today, you murderous old bastard. NPR Morning Edition, March 2004. The situation in Iraq is getting better every week, without question, in terms of basic services like, you know, schools, medical care, utilities, oil production. November 23rd, 2004. Romney said extremists have much to lose. But if the coalition is steadfast, and it will be, eventually we will see the last vestiges of this dying order fade away. Courageous Iraqis continue to volunteer to serve in the Iraqi government, and their leadership is absolutely key to their success in Iraq. December 1st, 2004. Rumsfeld tells radio host Steve Gill of WTN Radio in Nashville, Tennessee, that U.S. forces are doing a superb job in Iraq. In Fallujah, they have killed or captured a large number of extremists who have been killing Iraqi people and trying to attack coalition forces. They've done just a wonderful job. I think Iraq's going to be a wonderful accomplishment. June 2005. The level of support from the international community is growing. December 2005. U.S. reporters can compare Iraq as it is today to what it was 3 years ago, a brutal dictatorship where the secret police would murder or mutilate a family member, sometimes in front of their children, and where hundreds of thousands of Iraqis disappeared into mass graves. From that perspective, Iraq today is on a vastly different and a greatly improved path. We have more mass graves, and now the mutilation of family members in front of children, in some occasions, is done by U.S. troops. March 2006, Senator Byrd. Mr. Secretary, how can Congress be assured that the funds in this bill won't be used to put our troops right in the middle of a full-blown Iraqi civil war? Rumsfeld. Senator, I can say that certainly it is not the intention of the military commanders to allow that to happen. At least thus far, the situation has been such that the Iraqi security forces could, for the most part, deal with the problems that exist. April 28, 2006, radio interview with Laura Ingraham. It is an historic event for the Iraqi people to vote and then for a new government to be formed. The progress they're making there is notably faster and better than I had appreciated from Washington. 9 May, 2006. I was encouraged by reports on the comments of the Prime Minister-designate, Mr. Maliki, in his press conference earlier today. In particular, his statement that the government being formed will represent all Iraqis and strengthen the unity of the country. Oh, we could go on and on. No false optimism in any of these. Well, Hillary Clinton, you heard what the senator said. He's never painted a rosy picture. He's been very measured with his words. The secretary said that, I should say, and you'd have a dickens of a time trying to find instances where Rumsferatu has been optimistic. Everything's coming up, sunshine and Santa Claus. Everything's gotta be bright lights and lollipops. Everything's coming up, roses for me.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called
Wish It, Win It from Sony Card.
The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
So everybody has, I've been told, a guardian angel. You know, if you want to believe that. Apparently mine is Reg over at TV News Lies. Because she's a journalist. I'm a talk show host. I used to be a journalist, but not anymore. She sent me an email here. Paul Bremer was not the first civilian administrator of Iraq. And when I got the email, there was a guy there for 1 month, Jay Garner. Remember him? But he was fired. And the reason he was fired was because he had plans for Iraqis to hold elections within 90 days and for the U.S. to quickly pull troops out of the cities to the desert. He lasted 1 month. And then they brought in Paul Bremer, who, and how could I have forgotten this, he is the managing director of Kissinger and Associates. Jesus Christ. Thanks, Reg. Jay Garner, like General Shinseki, were fired, were removed. Shinseki had to retire, for God's sake, and I don't know what happened to Jay Garner, because they had ideas different from the Bush crime family. The Bush crime family wanted death and destruction as much as they could possibly get. Blood in the streets, bombs, civil war, chaos. Why? Well, for one reason, that jacks up the price of oil. What? It does? Yeah, it does. When we went to invade this helpless country, what was the price of oil? Around $30 a barrel? $35, $38? What is it today? You see, by taking Iraq's oil off the market, well, whatever. So the managing director, Paul Bremer, I'm sorry, the head of civilian, provisional civilian authority, Paul Bremer, was before he went to Iraq to make sure that everything remained chaotic, was the managing director of Kissinger and Associates. Kissinger has more blood, directly and indirectly, on his pants and his shoes and his underwear than probably any person since Hitler. You know, Kissinger has been stacking the corpses since Vietnam. That I'm aware of. All right, Reg, come on. Send me when he really started stagging the corpses. Kissinger is a mass killer almost on the level of Hitler. He didn't have Hitler's armies. He didn't have Hitler's snappy uniforms. But Henry Kissinger has caused more death and more destruction in South Asia, Africa, South America, and Central America than you and I will ever know about. But we do know this. He's wanted now. He has arrest warrants out for him in three or four European countries, I believe. Kissinger and Associates. Thanks, Reg. All right, we have a break coming up here, and when we come back, we are going to... I just want to touch on one more thing here before we start. It's at rawstory.com. Yesterday, Larissa Alexandrovna has a story out about the UN report. There's a UN, United Nations Human Rights Commission committee released its final report after a series of hearings in Geneva last week. And they had something to say about the United States. Now, you know, a lot of conservatives, right-wingers, neo-Nazis in this country, like Bush, Cheney, the rest of these people, they disregard what United Nations Human Rights Committee might have to say about any specific nation, but the rest of the world does not. In that respect, it's it carries a bit of weight, and I'll share with you what Larissa wrote when we come back, and then on to your phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and, okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Two more American soldiers among today's victims of violence in Iraq. U.S. military officials say they were killed in Anbar province, the troubled area west of Baghdad. Since Thursday of last week, at least 17 U.S. soldiers have died in Iraq, all but two of them in Anbar. Elsewhere, a pair of suicide car bombings killed 10 people at a soccer game and four police officers. How many people turned out for today's demonstration in Baghdad in support of Hezbollah? Depends on who you ask. Organizers and local police said hundreds of thousands. The U.S. military said only tens of thousands. Associated Press reporters who covered it say it's at least tens of thousands. Whatever the number, they chanted, "Death to Israel, death to America." U.S. and Israeli flags were burned, and at one point about 100 people threw a firebomb and stones at the British embassy. If you think you've had a heat wave where you are this summer, be glad you are not in Fallujah. U.S. Marine Sergeant Richard Clayton has this weather report from there.
It's always hot here, starting from March until November. Just this last month, we saw temperatures ranging from 110 degrees to 116, 117.
But, Sergeant Clayton points out, it's a dry heat. Israeli airstrikes are reported to have flattened two houses in southern Lebanon today, with more than 50 people buried in the rubble. Meanwhile, Hezbollah's firepower has reached deeper into Israel than ever before, with rockets falling on the town of Hedera. Here at home, first Napster, then Kazaa, now LimeWire, the latest operator of a file-sharing program to be sued by a coalition of major recording companies. The Recording Industry Association of America claims LimeWire is actively facilitating, encouraging, and enticing computer users to steal music by failing to block access to copyright works. And the founder of the 60s rock band Love, Arthur Lee, has died of leukemia. Though their song Seven and Seven Is was their only top 40 hit, Love did influence such bands as Led Zeppelin. Love's album Forever Changes ranks 40th on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 best albums of all time. Arthur Lee was diagnosed with leukemia this year. He got a bone marrow transplant using stem cells from an umbilical cord last May, but never left the hospital after that. Arthur Lee of Love was 61. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
7 past the hour. Our friend, the old Sarge, over at powersandmorrison.com has sent me a couple of emails that enough has been raised to help the person he was talking about, asked me to talk about on this program, and he mentioned one person donated $500 to this cause. And it was very quick. Not that much was needed, but Sarge wanted me to tell everyone thank you. He sends out individual emails. Any more money that's received, he writes, would be given to people who are in desperate straits in Jackson County, Mississippi, still trying to recover from Katrina. So I mentioned this earlier this week, and it's been taken care of already. So as Janine Garofalo said one time, liberals create a moral universe and conservatives dismantle it. The television coverage of the war between Hezbollah and Israel in the United States is about as one-sided as anything could possibly be. When I watch Wolf Blitzer now, the former Washington bureau chief of the Jerusalem Post before he went to work for CNN and the CIA and the Mossad. Well, he's always worked for the Mossad, but I mean, you know, before he became an active agent for the CIA and went to work for CNN. He was the bureau chief of the Jerusalem Post, but when you watch him on television lately, he's reverting to form. He uses the pronunciations, the correct pronunciations, the very guttural pronunciations for these names. And locations in both Israel and Lebanon, as if he is, you know, putting his IDF uniform back on and looking for some Palestinians to kill. Blitzer is just the worst example. All of them, every the little bow tie boy, Tucker Carlson and Joe Scarborough and every one of the half humans over at Fox, all of them, every single bit of coverage of this hideous situation being perpetrated by Israel against Lebanon. Every single report or commentary, especially the commentary or the guests or the actions taken by the politicians, whether they're Democrat or Republican, or the anchors or the newscast, the stand-up people, it is so pro-Israel, it just makes you think that Israel is over there stomping rats and killing cockroaches and removing bed bugs and fleas. It's horrifying. It's only in this country that the reports are presented like that. Even, I shouldn't preface it by saying even, but I think I will. Even in Canada, the CBC shows much more balance than we show in this country. In Britain? Oh, my God. Now, we have a piece of sound here for you I want you to hear. It comes with a video. It's at Brass Check. Brass, like the metal, brasscheck.com. And it's titled Cutting Through Israel's Propaganda War in the United States. And they have listed four short clips of things Americans never see on television. We're not going to play all of them. But I want you to listen to this. The UK correspondent John Snow interviews the Israeli ambassador to Britain, Zvi Ravner, about Israel's attacks on Lebanon. And I just want to play it, and you can draw your own conclusions.
There's the deputy Israeli ambassador.
All right, let's can you stop it there and let's back it up and we'll try it again. Okay.
Zvi Ravner is the deputy Israeli ambassador in London. He joins us now. Zvi Ravner, this is collective punishment. You've cut off the water, you've cut off the petrol, you've cut off the electricity, and you're starving the hospitals out.
This is not a collective punishment. This is a and this is not just about the soldier. It's the culmination of about 1 year long since we've withdrawn fully to the 67 line from Gaza. And since then, what we got was a day in and day out. Even today, when we are talking, rockets are being fired into Israel. And then came this, and then came the murdering of the youngster in the West Bank earlier this week. And now the Hamas government has to decide, what are they exactly? Are they a terrorist organization, as we suspect, or are they a government? If they are a government, there is a very simple and clear-cut resolution to the conflict straight away. Let them release our soldier. Let them stop the firing of rockets, and there will be no problem.
Well, rockets, pretty pathetic things. Nobody gets injured. They're homemade, and you well know they have nothing much stronger than an AK-47. No RPGs. They have no weapons. And you're delivering some of the most sophisticated bombardment that's ever been subjected to defenseless people.
Yes.
Is that an act of terror, would you say?
Not at all.
Is it an act of terror?
Please do pay attention to the fact that throughout the whole week, there was only one Palestinian casualty. With all the sophisticated weapons, we were very accurate in order to prevent. What is the?
So you deliberately took out the last power station today, meaning that these people will be without electricity for the next year. You're happy about that?
Is that an act of terror, or isn't it? Is the Palestinian government happy about that? Because there is a very simple solution to that. What would you like us to do to send troops in and to have a bloodshed? We are trying our very best. We are exercising our restraint.
So what was the purpose of attacking the power station? It's a very simple question.
Very simple.
Who is dependent on the power station?
To stop them from smuggling out the soldier.
How do you use a power station?
Because there is going to be a minimal light at night, and it will make their possibility
of
movement.
Surely you need darkness at night to smuggle people about. You don't need a power station.
In order to prevent them from carrying out the smuggling out of the soldiers.
Let's just steady things down for a moment. What do you need to bomb a power station for? Why?
In order to stop them from smuggling out the soldier.
How does that stop you smuggling people out? Surely you need darkness to smuggle people out. That wouldn't require a power station,
well,
would it?
There are other things that I shall not go into it, but definitely it is going to restrict to limit their possibilities of movement throughout the Gaza Strip. And in this respect, they were trying, by the way.
Let me ask you another question, because I'm just wondering, given the fence into Egypt. Given that you represent your country in a Western European state, what effect these extraordinary strikes against a civilian population, what effect do you think they do in terms of the way people regard your country?
They are very precise. And they are very restrained.
That's not what I asked.
Very restrained measures. As I said, throughout the whole week, in spite of all the escalation, only one Palestinian casualty, and that was even that one was a member of a terrorist organization in his own headquarters. But so we were very, very careful not to hit innocent civilians. While for the whole year, on the other hand, look at Sderot. Your correspondent was in Sderot. Schools in Sderot are closed for weeks now. The whole towns and kibbutzim are closed now. That is not considered to be the culmination of that story. So there is a very simple solution to all that. Release the soldier. Alas, we've run out of time.
But,
rocket, and that will be it.
Mr. Rabner, thank you very much for coming in.
Now, obviously, that was I misspoke. It wasn't about the attack on Lebanon. It was the attack on Gaza. Because of the capture of the first soldier, the one who allegedly, whose capture began this horrifying escalation to the point now where Israel and Hezbollah are locked into a death struggle. I think it's becoming apparent that Israel is not going to win this any more than the United States won in Southeast Asia. A corner has been turned here, a line has been crossed, whatever you want to call it. But I do believe that the current leadership of Israel has made a grievous error. Obviously, my opinion is worth nothing. It's just my opinion. But I think they have made a terrible error. terrible mistake with his attack on Lebanon.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
useful tool of foreign policy for our country. Just try to let the sun shine in.
Oh, my God. Now, the point of running that piece of tape with John Snow and the Israeli ambassador to the U.K., to the U.K., was simply to make the point of how differently interviews of that nature are handled in this instance, British media. Can you imagine anyone on United States television, on any cable, any over-the-air network, anywhere, any radio anywhere, suggesting to the Israeli ambassador that what Israel was doing in Gaza were acts of terror, or challenging this particular spokesman for the Israeli government, challenging him where he says, "Well, we had to destroy the power plant because we didn't want them to sneak our soldier out," and which is just absolutely counter to logic. If you don't want them to sneak your soldier out, and darkness is what would allow that to happen, then you bathe the entire section of Gaza in light, not darkness, you see? So the point in running that piece of tape was just, or audio, tape? Was that a million years ago? The point in running that audio was just to show the stark contrast in the different questioning techniques. When I watch, and I can't watch anymore, if I am watching news during the day, which I am wont to do simply because it's part of the job, and I see a spokesman for the IDF or the Israeli government come on with an American interviewer, with an exception of CNN International. Now, there's another piece of audio at that website I told you about. It's at YouTube, but it'll take you a million years to find it at YouTube. And that was Beverly, and I forget her last name. I used to work with her. She's with CNNI International. And 6 years ago, when I first came back from Chicago, that's where I went to work, CNN International, as a writer. And she was one of the anchors. And her interview with an Israeli government spokeswoman about Lebanon is also at that website. And we were going to play that one tonight also, but we'll probably let that wait until Monday. But CNNI, it is broadcast in the United States if you have a certain cable system, or maybe it's on Dish. I don't know if it's on Dish. We have cable. And you can get CNNI occasionally during the day now, I believe, the noon, is it 12 to 1 or 12 to 12:30, Kathy, on CNN? They cut over to CNNI for the noon broadcast. It's somewhere around there. But CNN International is put together, obviously, for international consumption. It's not put together for American consumption. Consequently, the people who do the questioning of the guests or spokespeople who come on representing various governments or this or that think tanks, the questioning is entirely different. It's something that you and I will not see on CNN, Fox, any one of MSNBC or any of NBC's cable channels or the over-the-air networks. You simply will not see it. And I don't understand that. Do you? A lot of people will say, well, it's because the Jews control a media, which is not true. That's not true. That part of it's not true. But there is an attitude that comes down I've worked for Jew and Gentile. I worked for both, gay, straight, black, white, men and women. I have worked for just about every different configuration you can think of. And the attitude from all of them was, watch what you say when you start talking about Israeli foreign policy. And some of the people that I worked for who told me what I could and could not do, it was based on the fact that criticizing Israel would bring out the termites, you know, the anti-Semitic psychopaths who would immediately stay, and it just wasn't worth it. It was just like, be careful when you criticize black Americans, because that brings out the racist pigs who try to do as much damage as they can. And I understand that. I understand that. But my response to that was and is, those people need to be ignored. To hell with them. You know, I'm going to let the content of my program be dictated because there are scum who hear criticism of Israel and immediately start criticizing Jews. No, that's not going to happen. Those people, to me, don't exist. I have no use for them. And by the same token, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I do reserve the right, as long as I'm in broadcasting, to criticize the foreign policy or the domestic policy. To a certain extent, although that's a little bit iffier, but certainly the foreign policy of any sovereign nation. I don't give a damn who it is. And that includes Israel. And if somebody doesn't like that, we'll take it up with my boss. He can be dumb. He can ride down the Niagara Falls in the balance of your skull. I can smell something cooking. I can tell there's going to be a
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Oh, by the way, this is Helen Thomas's birthday. Lewis in New York sent it to me earlier today. He said, if there's any justice in the world, someday August 4th will be a national holiday. Honoring one of the few journalists with the guts to try to prevent fascism from taking hold in this country. Or as Ann Coulter calls her, that nasty old Arab. Isn't that nice? Okay, quickly, this is Larissa at rawstory.com. The UN Human Rights Committee has released its final report. They had a series of hearings in Geneva last week, and Larissa writes, Raw Story has learned these hearings, or this report, amounts to a moral indictment of U.S. treaty violations, as well as what some attendees and delegates to this hearing described as U.S. hubris, willful disregard for international and domestic law, and contempt for the committee itself. Of course. Larissa also writes, at the hearing, signatory nations to the conventions against torture and other cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment and punishment. It's that long. It's called the CAT, the C-A-T. And the 1992 International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the ICCPR, one of two treaties that make up what is commonly referred to as the International Bill of Rights. Anyway, both of these committees presented reports on their implementation of the agreed-upon standards of the treaties. The committee holds hearings every 4 years to review the compliance status of signatory member nations. Now, as part of that review, the official report is presented along with what is called a shadow report, which is a rebuttal from non-government organizations and advocacy groups and citizen representatives. The U.S. shadow report was prepared by the Coalition for Human Rights at Home, which is a coalition of 142 not-for-profit groups, I guess, in this country. The shadow report delivered, and it was 456 pages long, documents that detail domestic human rights abuses that generally go unreported in the U.S., and the report meticulously details over 100 instances of human rights violations as response to the official report by the U.S. And it goes on. I'm suggesting you go read this. Rawstory.com. It's UN report, a moral indictment of the United States. It's shocking. I mean, this is our country they're talking about. Based on what the Bush crime family and the Republicans, the conservatives, are doing to the United States. They're burning it down. Burning it down. Oh, this. The pig man was on his program, Limbaugh, and he was referring to the Qana massacre in Lebanon. This is from his July 31st program. This guy is just going to roast in his own juices in hell. He really is. What a filthy human being Limbaugh really is. I mean, he really is. Here's what he said about the Qana massacre. Until civilians, and frankly, I'm not sure how many of them are actually just innocent little civilians running around versus active Hezbo types, particularly the men, but until those civilians start paying a price for propping up these kinds of regimes, it's not going to end, folks. What do you mean civilians start paying a price? Well, I just asked you to consult history for the answer to that. Now, that's what Limbaugh said. This is what Osama bin Laden said, March 1997, on his fatwa against America. We declared jihad against the U.S. government because the U.S. government is unjust, criminal, and tyrannical. It has committed acts that are extremely unjust, hideous, and criminal. As for what you ask regarding the American people, they are not exonerated from responsibility because they chose this government and voted for it, despite their knowledge of its crimes in Palestine, Lebanon, Iraq, and in other places. Really? It sounds a little similar, doesn't it? Huh? Sheila sent that to me. I believe it was Sheila. Limbaugh is I don't know. He goes to the Dominican Republic to have sex with children, and then he comes back to the United States and comments like this on the deaths of children. My God. Oh, but he's a hero to the conservatives. All right, let's do some phone calls, as promised. Let's start with, where do we want to start? Michael is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Michael, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, welcome. Hey, you know, you were talking earlier about Bremer coming from the Kissinger Associates. Yeah.
He was the managing partner or whatever. But yes, you're right.
Can you imagine the irony in that? There's some grand irony there that we took an Arab country and dissected it and handed it over to a Kissinger meat puppet.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
Well, can you think? You still there?
Yes.
Do you think that bit of irony escaped Sistani and, you know, the Shiites? And I don't think it did, you know? And there's going to be, you know, a long time to toll with this problem. It's going to be around a long time, so I hope everyone's ready to just brace themselves for the long haul.
Yeah, it's what they've started, what the United States and Israel has done, and the UK. Those are the three horsemen of the apocalypse: Israel, yeah. U.S., U.K. Not necessarily in that order. I'd say U.S., U.K., Israel.
Well, they're all fighting for their own survival. Survival.
I don't know that that's the case. I think they're all fighting to destroy or remake in their own image the Middle East. Each one of those three political entities has their own reasons for doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But what they have unleashed, the U.S., the U.K., and Israel, what they have unleashed, I don't know how it's ever going to stop.
It's a big pile of bush.
You know, all the rapture right Christians are still licking their chops and rubbing their hands and getting all moist because, you know, they're hoping that this is the beginning of the end. And
well, you know, I get this image where, like, every night they go back behind a cloakroom somewhere and they're just chomping on ribs, you know, smacking their lips, and their baby back ribs from the Middle East, you know, sick little monkeys.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. All right. Well, thanks for checking in, Michael. I appreciate your call. Linda is calling from Casper, Wyoming. Linda, welcome to the program.
For a very short time.
Linda? All right, let's put Linda on hold. We'll come back to her. Joe is calling from Miami. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Listen, I watched the 100,000 Shias turn out today. I'm very concerned about the troops in Baghdad.
Well, I am too. That demonstration in support of Hezbollah, for God's sake, in Iraq. You know what Bush has done? He has, with his occupation of Iraq and his overthrow, he has set up a Shia military.
Exactly.
Iraq and Iran that now links up with Shia militaries all over the Middle East.
Right.
It's astonishing what this evil bastard has done.
Let me tell you what I'm scared of. Syria and Iran are stupid. We're threatening Iran with attack. The borders are wide open in Iraq. You can get the Revolutionary Guards coming across for 2 months, 3 months. You can get people drifted out from Syria. You can have 150,000 guerrillas in a city in no time, and those troops are dead meat. And the Green Zone also.
Yeah, it's Bush and Rumsfeld have put our soldiers in a position where they could wind up either massacred or as hostages.
And one last thing. There's some talk about this government planning a nuclear attack on Iran. What do you think Russia's going to do?
Yeah.
You think Russia's going to allow you to throw nukes around their border?
I don't think so.
I think we're coming to a big, big apocalypse. Take care, my man.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. You talk about putting U.S. troops in jeopardy. Oh, my God. Yeah, Joe's right. Let's try Linda again. Linda, are you there now, Linda?
I'm so terribly sorry.
That's all right. No big deal. When you listen, if you listen, hold on. Just for future reference, if you listen to the radio or the computer, there's a delay, and you're not aware that we're coming to you. It sounds like we're still talking to the other caller. But anyway, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, and a very good evening to you and your beautiful wife and daughter. And if anybody were to read Acts, they would find in the Bible, they would find that possibly we would all be Jews today if it weren't for some of the apostles not feeling like they could, they wanted to let go of the Jewish laws, the dietary laws and the 362 laws which they had to follow to be perfect. But, and talking about the issue of perfection.
Well, can you hold it there, Linda?
Sure.
Stop on the word perfection. We'll come back because I got to take a break, and we'll come back right after the break and pick it up there. The word perfection. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology while the treasury's being bled. Keep a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes, they'll just tell us what we see. We're being led by some wise souls, determined to put the mark into democracy. The decisions they're making are much too big for you or me. So, facing the tide of negative news, liberal lies, and left-leaning views that our enemies would spread.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Before the hour, back to Linda in Casper, Wyoming, and the word is perfection.
Well, we can all be challenged to rise to that point, but I doubt if many of us will make it.
I hear
you. But, you know, the people who listen to your show are very politically astute, and with your experience, I'm sure you've answered this question before. Why don't the congressmen and senators call Rumsfeld the distracted on his lies and so forth when he deigns to appear before them instead of just falling to the floor and basically worshiping at his feet? It boggles my mind, and I'm sure you've addressed this, but
well,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, all right, thanks, Linda. I appreciate you checking in. I think part of the answer is a holdover from what happened to this country on September 11, 2001. You remember the Bush hater, and I'm proud of him for it, Dan Rather, went on David Letterman's show and said, all President Bush has to do is tell me where to get in line, and I'll be there. There was an attitude after the attack on this country that any questioning, any dissent would be giving aid and comfort to the enemy, would be seen as unpatriotic, would not serve the interests of the United States. Now, what we didn't know is that the Bush crime family was involved in the attack on this country, either passively or, as some people believe, actively. I right now believe in the passive. We'll see what happens. But nobody knew that. And a lot of people still reject the idea. A lot of people still truly believe that, 19 people with box cutters defeated the most sophisticated military in the history of the globe and did it as effectively as these hijackers allegedly did. So, given the fact that we all accepted the official story, or most people did, certainly people in media, and given the fact that media by that point had been thoroughly intimidated by Republicans, by conservatives, they had had a field day going after Bill Clinton because a lot of them felt he had lied about his little sexcapade with Monica Lewinsky. It was awful. It was awful. So what the media was trying to do, or were trying to do, I think, was to show how they could get on board. And what the senators and representatives in Washington were trying to show was the same thing. Well, we're not going to, and Democrats especially, who have been unbelievably cowardly. The Democrats have put their own individual political careers ahead of the best interests of the country. I refuse to believe that Republicans have put their individual political careers ahead of the Nazi agenda that they're all working toward. They will step on each other's heads and step over each other's corpses and keep moving. They're like army ants in some jungle somewhere. They don't give a damn. Democrats, on the other hand, don't seem able to do that. So. The Democrats have displayed not in my opinion, humanity in helping their brothers and sisters, but cowardice, utter and absolute cowardice, a complete defeatist attitude. When I see the kinds of questions that usually come, now the fact that these questions came from Hillary was a bit of a shock. Because Hillary Clinton is playing the get-along-go-along card right now. She doesn't want to piss off several heavy-duty constituencies that she's counting on, the Israeli lobby, the United States military, the Murdoch crowd. She's counting on these people to not just finance her run for the presidency in 2008, but also she's counting on them to... deflect any criticism that's going to come from the right-wing crazies, which are all right-wingers. But you know, Americans still divide conservatives or Republicans into two or three camps, which is a mistake. They're all insane, they're all murderous, and they're all on the same page. So that's the long answer to say, really, I don't know. I have no idea why these senators or representatives, when they have one of these mass killers sitting in front of them, whose policies have been so wrong, why they don't just say, your policies are absolutely wrong, and as a result of your wrong policies, we're approaching 3,000 dead American soldiers, a decimated U.S. military, a decimated U.S. foreign policy and reputation, and absolute chaos in the Middle East. That is, you know, when you look through the smoke of the Middle East, you're starting to see something if you're paying attention. George Bush and these neoconservative bastards in PNAC and people like Elliot Abrams and Cheney, what they have done is they have united the Arab world. If anyone has ever come close to uniting Shia and Sunni, it's been these people. Now, that alliance won't hold because the Shia and the Sunni are kind of like the Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland, or the way they used to be. It's a matter of fact, the Sunni, which are the ruling Muslims, see the Shia as, what was it I read the other day? Most Sunnis say that they would rather do business with and have relations with Christians and Jews than with Shia. So, but what has happened is this massive, it's forming, we saw 100,000 people in Iraq today demonstrating not in favor of Lebanon, demonstrating in favor of Hezbollah. And all of a sudden, this massive, what's it going to be? One of our callers just said tonight, if the Shia ever align themselves properly from Syria to Lebanon to Iran and surround our 135,000 U.S. troops, it will take nuclear weapons to free them.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jennifer Pulsoni. The mayor of Phoenix, Phil Gordon, says the men arrested overnight by his police officer are, quote, the two monsters we've been hunting, to have been arrested in connection with the serial shooter crime spree that dates back to May of last year and left 6 people dead and 18 wounded. All of the victims were apparently random. The last was Sunday night when a woman in her 20s was gunned down as she walked near her home. The crime spree has paralleled another in Phoenix, a string of rapes and other attacks police credit to the baseline rapist who remains at large. The UN Security Council is struggling to set terms for a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon to end more than 3 weeks of intense fighting.
Days of diplomacy and yet still no resolution from the Security Council calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah. France and the United States still remain at odds. Paris wants a political solution before any international force is deployed in southern Lebanon. Washington wants a force to go in quickly. As Israel continues its assault on Beirut and southern Lebanon, Hezbollah rockets continue to rain down on northern Israel. There is a growing frustration in the Middle East that the Security Council has so far failed to act, and fears are that Israel may complete their military operations before the UN calls for a ceasefire. Nathan King of the United Nations, New York.
Meanwhile, on Friday, one Israeli airstrike killed more than 30 farm workers unloading fruit from their trucks near the Syrian border. Another attack leveled a home near the Israeli border, killing 10 more civilians. Hezbollah retaliated with a new barrage of rocket attacks, including some reaching 50 miles into Israel. The marriage of the proposed minimum wage hike to the cut in state taxes left the U.S. Senate in a deadlock, and members of Congress have headed home for their August break with neither issue resolved. The GOP majority put both issues into one bill, with many Republicans expected to approve the wage hike to get the estate tax cut. But Democrats have been critical of the linking, saying millions of people working for minimum wage are being used by the GOP to give hundreds of billions in tax cuts for what they say at the 7,000 wealthiest families. Observers say the debate alone provides positioning for the congressional candidates this fall. It'll be 4 o'clock in the morning in the Pennsylvania hometown of Tour de France winner Floyd Landis. The American cyclist's victory had been tainted by a urine sample taken during the race that showed he had high levels of testosterone. You're listening to Air America Radio News. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. There's a website you should check out. I did during the break because Marie sent me an email. Caritas, C-A-R-I-T-A-S, caritas.org, caritas.org. Marie writes, Mike, you should check out the Caritas Internationalis website, which addresses the dire straits of the Palestinians in Gaza. No food, no water, Israeli raids, incursions, and attacks. Father Manuel Musalem, parish priest of Gaza's only Catholic church, said, quote, "These attacks are not a punishment for a certain party or branch or person or sect. It is punishment for an entire nation, and this is a war crime," end quote. And I unequivocally agree that what has happened to the Palestinians is nothing less than a war crime. It's horrifying. It's just horrifying. But if you want to get some information, Caritas, caritas.org, the site is a consortium, if that's the right word, of 150, 160 Catholic relief organizations, and you might check it out. Caritas, caritas.org, and thanks to Marie for sending that to me. I cannot get my mind around what the Israeli government is doing, has done for decades to the Palestinians. There's no question about that. It's this is a people that have lived under invasion and occupation for 60 years. Invasion and occupation for 60 years. And are, I don't care how you want to phrase it, I don't care what your position on the legitimacy of the state of Israel, it doesn't make any difference. The Palestinian, I'm talking Palestinians now, have been treated as though, about the same way that the white South Africans treated the black South Africans. And the analogies are almost identical. You know, the black so-called South Africans, it was their country, and all of a sudden you get a bunch of English and Dutch moving in and saying, "Oh, well, sorry, we're going to develop this country. You people are a bunch of cannibals. You run around with bones in your noses. We're going to develop this this country." The Israelis did basically the same thing. What the motivations may have been different. I'm not questioning the motivations. That is a whole different issue. Being a non-believer in any organized religion, I have as much trouble with any nation coming or any group of people. I don't care who they are, coming into a country already populated and saying, "Look, we're moving in here because we have divine rights. We have manifest destiny. We have we've been given this land by God." How do you do that? And like I say, the book that I think every a Jew and Gentile ought to read who has any interest in the Middle East, the book that should be read is "They Must Go." They Must Go, written by Meir Kahane, who was a radical Orthodox American Jew who went to Israel, set up the Koch Party, was a member of the Knesset. I think the Knesset, the other ministers, the other representatives tried to ban him or successfully. He was just an outrageous freak. And he was the one that set up the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, in New Jersey. Was it in New Jersey back in the 60s? To combat the attacks on Jews by the Jew haters in New Jersey. And it utterly and absolutely radicalized Meir Kahane. But in his book, They Must Go, he just states it clearly. He says, "I understand why the Arabs are resisting. I understand, sure. You know, the Jew comes from Kiev or Philadelphia or Moscow or Johannesburg or Rio de Janeiro and comes into a land owned and settled by and controlled by Palestinians, and the Jew says, 'Get out of here, this is our land.' I understand, but Kahana went on to say, therefore, they must all be exterminated. Exterminated. The same thing that that Hitler said. Exterminated. It's just horrifying. But if you you know, if you're interested in finding out, getting information about the Israeli-Palestinian issue, which is the issue central to all the chaos and death and destruction on all sides in the Middle East. The Israeli-Palestinian issue is the core. It's the rotten core, and it will continue 50 years from now, 100, 200, 500, 1,000. It doesn't make any difference. Anyone who thinks that there's going to be a solution to this problem is kidding themselves. I used to think, hope, in my perverted, twisted way, pray for a solution. Especially knowing, having as many Jewish friends and Palestinian friends as I do here in Atlanta, who bleed about this issue, who get enraged about this issue. I've lost friends over this issue on both sides. But after spending as much time as I could on that particular the violations, the death, the pain, the suffering, the horror of it all, and deluding myself into thinking that there could be a two-state solution, you know, and hoping for it. And every time Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or an Israeli leader or an Egyptian leader or a Syrian leader or whatever, you know, would sit down and try to work it out, I used to think, okay, we're getting closer, okay. And then, of course, it was just smoke. So I've come to believe pretty much completely. I guess there's still a part of me, like anyone else who's investigated this, a part of you that still hopes for a peaceful reconciliation between all these Semitic people in this sad part of the world. Some sort of resolution. But 98% of me, 99.9, says, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And it's awful. It's just horrifying. Horrifying. Okay, let's go back to Michelle is calling from San Antonio.
Hiya, Mike.
Hi, Michelle.
You know, you can run out of adjectives when it comes to describing this situation. So first, let's see, a question, a comment, and an update. The update is that, well, as a result of my last phone call with you, my computer crashed. No, it's good, though. It's worked out. And I got a column over at Powers and Morrison. Who knew?
You did what at Powers and Morrison?
I got a column over there.
Oh yeah, well good for you.
Nathan writes me an email. He's like, I like your stuff, you know. So nice, yeah.
That's good. That's real good. You're the third person, fourth I know, who has gotten a column at Powers and Morrison, starting with the Sarge, and then Cassie, and then Victor, and now you. Hey, hold on a second, Michelle. I got to do a break here. I'll come right back after the break. This is Air America.
All right. Let's make a deal and work it out. We'll walk into the sunset, you and I.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Oreck Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200. 4200.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drug stores and pharmacies.
Orderly. When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
Past the hour, we're talking with Michelle in San Antonio. You were just telling us about your column.
Oh, well, it's Swim Deep over at Powers and Morrison. It's swimdeep.blogspot.com is where it comes from.
All right, say, that didn't come through clear. Say it again.
Skin
deep?
I'm Swim Deep over at Powers and Morrison. It's Deep Confusion.
Oh, Deep Confusion, okay.
Deep Confusion. You might remember that.
yeah, for sure.
So now another little update is, okay, my husband's deployed. He's over in Germany, and he's been flying these CCAT missions over to Lebanon,
right.
And they're picking up Lebanese civilians, and a whole bunch of them are coming back here to San Antonio because that's where the burn unit is at BAMSI. And it's, at least I can say that we're doing a little bit of good there. As badly as the administration is messing up, at least I know that there are real people that are trying to pick up some of the pieces, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and then my question for you was, I sent you a
wait, I want to make sure people understand this. Your husband is in a unit in the United States military that
yes.
is rescuing people who have been burned by Israeli a bombardment and bringing them to the United States for operations, for surgery, for healthcare, right?
Correct. He's just on the first leg of it, which goes from Lebanon to Germany, and then they go from Germany
right.
back to the States. He doesn't do the Germany back to the States leg because he's deployed. But
is he giving you any I hate this term, a play by play of what's going on, what he's witnessing, what he's seeing?
Well, he doesn't do too much of that because I think he's trying to protect me. Basically, he doesn't want me to be afraid, but. The thing he complains mostly about, to be honest, is the 3 and 4-star generals that are consistently always in his way, whether that be on the ground or in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It's all politics.
Now in his way, what do you mean by that?
Well, literally, they interfere with patient care. Offload some. These are severely injured people, or else they wouldn't be coming. They
right.
would be staying, they'd be going somewhere in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
These are severely injured people, and these generals literally will push past a doctor trying to administer care to either look at the person, poke around, just sit there in the way. And they seem to have no sense whatsoever because of their rank, I guess, that they're in the way. And he can't say anything. What's he going to say?
Yeah,
move?
That is the best part and the worst part, as is so often the case in a situation. It's always the best and the worst could be the same thing. In this case, it's vertical command. You never can question even now. That works in military situations when there is a war to be fought, a legitimate war to be fought. It works in a situation like you're describing. It does not work. As a matter of fact, whatever the opposite of work is, that's what happens.
I completely agree, and he's most angered by that because he feels that he already doesn't want to be there, and he hates this war. And then there's just people interfering with it, interfering with his very function.
Well, I hope you will pass on. I'm sure you have. If more people were aware of what your husband's function is in the U.S. military, they would thank him and congratulate him and respect him and say that he was truly performing a humanitarian function. So I'm sure you and he have discussed that. But
yeah.
if you haven't, please, certainly from this audience and from me, just great respect for what he is doing. So now you had a question.
I sent you a video of that Chomsky interview that you ran about, I don't know, a week and a half ago or so, about what's really going on and what the mainstream media isn't telling us. And I was wondering if you knew of any kind of follow-up on that, because the kidnapped doctor and his brother from Gaza, because every single report I hear, it's just it's that the thing that spawned the war, the Israeli soldiers being seized.
Mm-hmm. Hey, hold
That's
on.
It. That's all I hear.
Can you hold on again, Michelle?
Sure.
I'm distracting you with this other stuff. So hold on just a second. We have to take another break. We'll come back. Finish up with Michelle and move on also to your question. Oh, my God, I sound like Wolf Blitzer. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
We'll be right back.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Back to Michelle in San Antonio. All right, now, where were we?
Well, I guess we were...
the question, and my answer is I really don't have an answer.
About the Gaza thing.
Right. The two missing, because they don't matter. Palestinians, individual Palestinians to American media don't matter. Captured Israeli soldiers matter to the extent of causing a war in the Middle East. But two missing Gazan Palestinians? What? Go about your business.
But the news is just blatantly misleading.
It is indeed.
And I can't believe, well, I can believe. I can believe no one's following up on it. Well, I guess finally, just my last little bit, and I'll let you go, Mike, is that I'm going to Germany at the end of the week to meet my hubby. And I'm wondering if there's anything I can check up on there.
Anything
for you.
Anything and everything. You're a writer now. You'll know what to ask. Call us when you get back.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah, there you go.
You take care.
Thanks, Michelle. You do too. You do
okay.
too. All right. Sylvia Tenenbaum is a writer in East Hampton, New York. She is the author of the novels Yesterday's Streets and Rachel, the Rabbi's Wife. Today she wrote this. As a Jew who escaped the Holocaust by moving with my family to America in 1938, I turn on the BBC at night, and what I see are clouds of black smoke, explosions, the dead and the dying, children crying bitterly, cities in ruins. Only yesterday, these piles of rubble in Lebanon were home to thousands. Now the cars roll out onto the highways, white flags attached to the windshields and doors. More than 500,000 are homeless. The Israelis told them to leave, but then strafed a convoy from a helicopter. The military people exert their force without pity. They win their wars proudly. They are the masters of force. Using the most modern weapons the United States can supply to search out the Hezbollah guerrillas, the Israeli soldiers destroy Lebanon. They wreck all of Gaza, seeking to murder the leaders of Hamas. Many American Jews gather proudly to cheer them on. The face of the American president remains blank. A patter of platitudes issues from his lips. He is not interested in peace. He is happy to see Israel do the dirty work for him. Diplomacy is a word not in his dictionary. But lo and behold, even as the destruction builds and the war continues through its third week, it seems suddenly no longer such a lark. Success is hard to come by. Israel is no longer the perennial victor. But will it know what to do when faced with the need to talk with the enemy? It has always felt so invincible that discussion seemed the weapon of fools and weaklings, much like the way the earnest work of its principled and dedicated peace camp, Jewish to the core in an old-fashioned way, seemed pathetic and misguided. But the peace camp knew that each and every Israeli atrocity nurtured another enemy, a potential terrorist. While every Palestinian home that the Israeli Committee Against House Demolitions helped to rebuild, every olive tree it planted tenderly in occupied soil brought another possible friend, another partner in dialogue. Meanwhile, back at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, deep in the heart of the Jewish lobby, the call to action is, as always, a call for solidarity, for good public relations. Denounce terrorism, suicide bombers, and anti-Semitism in all its endless variations, which includes the self-hatred of the misguided Jew who asks us to give some thought to where we, obsessed with brutal retaliation, may have gone wrong. And it goes without saying, loyal Jews must talk about the Holocaust. Ignore the images of today's dead and dying and focus on the grainy black and white pictures showing the death of Jews in the villages of Poland at Auschwitz and Sobibor and Bergen-Belsen. We are the first, the only true victims, the champions of helplessness for all eternity. no matter what great accomplishments were ours in the diaspora, no matter what we produced, no matter that we produced, Maimonides and Spinoza, Moses Mendelssohn, and hundreds of others of mankind's benefactors, not a warrior among them. Look at the world of our long exile, always in the dark light of the Shoah. But this in itself is an obscene distortion. Would the author of Survival in Auschwitz, Primo Levi, or the poet Paul Celan demand that we slaughter the innocents in a land far from the snow-clad forests of Poland? Is it a heroic act to murder a child, even the child of an enemy? Are my brethren glad of it and proud? I am heartsick. And still, I see a glimmer of hope. There must be that glimmer to go on at 78 years. The American Peace Camp reports a sudden massive increase in membership. All over the country, Jews whose consciences have not been crippled are writing in, speaking up, gathering to raise their voices. Is this not what we have always done? What we were brought up to do? What, since the days of the Bible and the prophets, our forefathers taught us? If Israel had worked for peace as hard as it has worked for war, might it not all be settled now? 300 British Jews took out an ad in the Times of London to ask the question, "What is Israel doing?" This question has now been taken up by Jewish Voice for Peace and by Alan Sokol and Bruce Robbins, who some years back placed an ad in the New York Times that read, "Not in our name." The time is long overdue for Jews to return to their role as the world's conscience, who come to the aid of the dispossessed, the wretched of the earth. Once again, we must join those who demand the end to unjust wars in Iraq as well as Lebanon, and an unjust occupation in Gaza. We must honor the example of American civil rights workers, Andrew Goodman and Michael Schwerner, not that of the mass murderer Baruch Goldstein, or Yigal Amir, killer of Yitzhak Rabin. And perhaps the day will come that we will be counted, by Jew and Arab alike, as among the just, perhaps even given a place at Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial in Jerusalem, for the lives we helped to save in a lawless, savage time. Soviet Tenenbaum. And I apologize for the mispronunciation of whatever names I mispronounced. Russ is calling from Folsom, California. Russ, welcome to the program.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well,
I've been trying to take notes on your prepared statements all evening.
Yeah, right. Well, keep trying.
You know, Mike, I think I'm becoming a Hezbollah.
Hezbollah. Didn't you love that term?
I just have these terrible pangs of empathy for people in Lebanon. You got to help me.
You're a Hezbollah.
Dr. Mike, help me. Goodness. Mike, retired academic here, and I always had a rule that I would never call a station, much less wait this long.
Uh-oh.
For somebody who controlled the button.
Uh-oh.
But things are so dismal, I'm looking for any voice I can get. Let's do a couple of quick things. One, on Jay Gardner, he wasn't there just a month. He was there a little over 3 months. And one of the things, Mike, that he wanted to do was sustain, if not reconstitute, the military and law enforcement. Oh, they hated that.
Right.
Longing for chaos.
Right.
Just a quick one, just a reminder. Esther Rumsfeld, oh, my goodness, I share your consternation. I mean, his talk today was just babble, incoherence. He was clearly agitated, but he keeps it beneath the surface, and he was his typical petulant, curt, contemptuous, cryptic self.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right about his treatment of women. He's a misogynist. I mean, it's pretty clear. And he
is. But did you notice something when confronted with authority that is still constitutionally written as to put him in a lesser situation, i.e. his civilian masters, even though he's a civilian, but when he has to testify in front of the Senate, even though he still acts like a total ass and still comes across with the patronizing statements, there's an attitude that is completely different from how he addresses the press, he still will adopt a slight deferential tone that just makes you want to bitch slap him even harder.
Well, he's not really deferential. And that's the cryptic nature of it. He pretends to be.
Is that what it is?
You know, you have to take solace, Mike, in the notion that he was so angry to be there today. And I don't know how Hillary's letter motivated him. I don't know what was in it. But he came reluctantly. You know that.
Right.
And he looked almost like disinterested at times. He's a very odd human being, but aren't they all?
Yeah.
So, the purpose of my call really is beyond that. You had a caller this last week from my neck of the woods who's working in a campaign here, and you asked for the name of the person he's working for. It happens to be Charlie Brown.
Can you hold a second? Let's go ahead and take the break, and then we'll come back.
I'd be glad to do that.
All right,
I have something I want to say.
Okay, hold on if you can, Russ. We'll be back in a second. This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, 3 lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's Sony Card, earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony.
Thank you.
left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our gang in New York, Justin Yuen, Bob Granis, and Stan Stolpiak, who engineered the program tonight, David Wiseman, who handled your calls, and also Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Back to Russ in Folsom, California. Russ, we have a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for waiting for me.
Sure.
Oh, wait a minute. I've got that backwards, don't
that's,
I?
That's true. That's very true. You got
I thought I was talking to Limbaugh or something. You know,
yeah,
I just
well.
I get so confused.
It's easy. Yeah, easy to do.
Mike, we've got some options. And this chap that called in the other night from my neck of the woods, and he's very much like myself, which is very interesting because as an academic, I never worked in campaigns. I was requested oftentimes to advise, and I said, no, I can't do that because I have to, you know, remain somewhat objective and so forth.
Right.
But I'm retired, so I can do what I choose to do. And I'm working out a district in that campaign, which is Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But this fella gave you enormous credit, apparently, for inspiring him to work. And I caught part of it. And he was just so excited and felt good that he'd made his 100 calls and so forth.
Right.
The more important thing was what you said. Would you give me a name and a contact, get him on the show?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to offer two more names to you to think about, because this is part of the remedy, if not maybe the total remedy. There are two other folks right in this area who are running against some of the most despicable people, Richard Pombo, Dan Lundgren, and, of course, Charlie running against Doolittle.
Right.
Their names are Bill Durston and Jerry McNerney, and I'd be pleased to send them to you. But what I ask is you put them on the air.
Well, if we can, send an email.
Well, I know.
Here, let me tell you how to do it. Send an email with the pertinent information.
I'll put it there. I'll talk
But to send them. It. But send it to MalloyProducer@AOL.com.
All right.
MalloyProducer@AOL.com.
And what we're looking at is MalloyProducer, one word.
Yeah, MalloyProducer@AOL.com. And, okay. And it's up to Kathy, then, to follow through on this.
Okay. But if you can get them on, it'll give them some national notoriety. But there are three contiguous districts. One is 11, but the other two are 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working out a district there. I'm working out a district in 11, and I'm working my own district. These are guys, and Bill Durston would be really interesting because he's set up front at every one of the meetings I've been at with him. I will move immediately for impeachment. Now, all three of these guys are veterans, and they have real interesting backgrounds. One was a pilot in the Air Force, that's Charlie Brown. Durston was a physician. He's been an emergency room physician. These are great people.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you can do to move that along and maybe get a contribution out of area or whatever would be useful. But, Mike, I sometimes you seem... as I do. I'm just dreadful about this, just feeling as though there isn't really much that we can do to counteract this. The truth is we can. And what you do each night on the radio is good, but also a little help to these folks would be remarkable.
Sure. Send it on, Russ. And
I'll do that. And listen, thanks for spending a few moments with me. And sorry about your incident at home today.
Yeah, well.
I hope you didn't waste too much data.
That was a warning, I think. All right. Thanks, Russ.
All right. Take care,
all
man.
Right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah. Yeah, we got hit by lightning today. Malloy, you piss me off. Boom. Man, I was, I had Molly, right? I had Molly when that happened? Oh, that's right. When the big bolt hit, you were giving her her bath, but we had spent some time watching the storm develop, and I actually took her outside before the hail came to let some of those huge raindrops splatter on her. You know, when it rains out where we live, I like to take her out on the back porch, and we sit there, screen porch, because we have mosquitoes of death. And she watches the trees. We watch the trees dance in the wind. And, you know, there's woods behind us. So we were out there doing that, And then the rain came, and then the hail came, and it was, you know, a typical storm, just typical storm we have every day here in Atlanta. So Kathy was giving her a bath, and at that point there really hadn't been lightning. I mean, if there was, we wouldn't have put her in the tub. But did she jump out of her skin when that huge bolt hit? Oh, my God. And then Kathy and I spent the next 10 minutes in this raging storm trying to find what was burning, because we could smell two smells, that smell of electric fire, and the smell of that horrible smell of house fire. And what we found was the house next door had also been hit, and there was a streak down the side of the house, a black streak where the lightning had come down and just blasted the guy's box that contained everything, all of his electrical connections. And Kathy got on the phone immediately and called the fire department. They sent somebody out. Took about, 15 minutes to get there, but they were overloaded. Plus, you know, we don't live where you can actually get to the fire station very quickly. But so that was our adventure this afternoon. It was scary. It really was. And you know, I, being me, I couldn't help but think, you know, I watched Molly through all this, and of course we kept trying to keep it light. And I kept thinking about kids, you know, in Israel or Lebanon or Gaza or the West Bank or Iraq, you know, when the bombs fall and their parents are murdered. Jesus, God. Sorry to leave you with that one. I'll see you Monday night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.